grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson that was just read, but especially verse 66, where we have the question, what then is this child going to be? Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, U.S. News and World Report ran a feature article on the so-called hidden prisons of North Korea. It was about the gulags of what is considered the most human rights repressive nation in the world today. And the article contained an interesting account of a woman who is now 56 years old, named Lee Soon-ok, who was sent to one of these prisons and spent some time there. She never knew why she was imprisoned, since she claimed to have considered the past and the current leader of North Korea as basically gods, and she claimed that she herself was a true party loyalist. But she was imprisoned nevertheless. And during her imprisonment, she was severely tortured. Guards stepped on her head, knocking out teeth and skewing the left side of her face. During one beating, her left eye started to pop out of its socket, and she had to push it in with her fingers. Her arms were injured after she was hung in chains from the ceiling. Fortunately, she was released. And then in 1995, she was able to escape to South Korea. And once in South Korea, she converted to Christianity because, she said, she marveled at the jailed Christians who refused to renounce their faith in the face of torture and execution. It would seem that Tertullian's late second or early third century comment is still true for the church in the 21st century. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. We don't know why Tertullian became a Christian. He never tells us. But on the basis of some of his comments, many speculate that he converted to the Christian faith for the very same reason that Kim Soon-ok did. He was impressed by the perseverance in faith of persecuted Christians. We're never told how many converts the blood of John the Baptist may have produced. In fact, we never really think of him as a martyr, although we clearly know that he was beheaded for his witness to the Christian message. If the Christian church formally began on that first Pentecost, and if Stephen is its first martyr, as we usually claim, that John the Baptist certainly would be a pre-martyr or a kind of proto-martyr. In verse 66 of the gospel lesson for the day, everyone who was present there at the circumcising of John asked, "What is this child going to be?" Living after the fact, we know the answer. He was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He was going to call people to repentance and baptize many in the desert. He was going to live an ascetic life of hardship and self-deprivation and total humility. John the Baptist was going to be the exact opposite of many of the self-centered baby boomers, Gen Xers, and Gen Yers, or whatever else we have today. But we also know that he was going to be a martyr. The ancient Romans placed a lot of value, a high pedagogical value, on the exemplary lives of people of the past. They retold stories of their great heroes so that their young people could grow up, be virtuous, decent, hardworking people. And they told the story of people like Hyconatus, when Rome was in dire need of deliverance from an enemy, they asked Hyconatus right there out plowing the field if he would lead them, and he immediately left his plow and went and led them to victory. Or we read about Quintus Fabius Maximus, who was one who defeated Hannibal of Carthage by his tactic of delay. And so he received the nickname Cunctator, the delayer. And the pulpit Ennius immortalized him as the man who singly saved the state by patience. Will we be someone like Hyconatus, ready to leave everything when the call comes to go help someone out, especially someone in need of the comfort of God's word? Or will we be like Quintus Fabius and be very patient and faithful to those who sometimes maybe get a little bit on our nerves, that we can delay sometimes for the sake of their benefit? Well, the life of John the Baptist also has outstanding pedagogical value. For all who seek to enter the office of the holy ministry, or for all who are currently in that office, as a messianic forerunner of Christ, he proclaimed a message that was already crafted for him. He proclaimed the Word of God. His mission was to proclaim Christ, not himself. He had to forego creaturely comforts and a comfortable existence so that he could be that man out in the desert, a sort of spectacle to many who went out and saw him maybe initially for that very reason, and then heard the message. When Christ came on the scene, John was ready to move to the shadows so that the spotlight could focus on Jesus Christ. Can anyone be more humble than one who says, "I am not even worthy to untie the laces of another individual's sandals"? John didn't dine at five-star restaurants. They didn't serve locusts and wild honey. He wasn't outfitted at Brooke Brothers-type clothiers. They didn't carry simple garments made of camel's hair and a leather cincture. Above all, one goal in his life was to call people to repentance so that they could receive Christ in their hearts. And he never softened his renunciation and denunciation of sin even before the powerful heads of state. That's what kind of child John became, or what kind of man that child became. What about us? Whether we're still in preparation for the ministry, or whether we're continuing our education to improve our ministerial skills, we can all still ask that question of ourselves: what then am I going to be? The question cannot be answered fully, certainly, until our ministries are over. John didn't know that he would be a martyr until the very end of his life. Still, we must ask, am I going to be willing to walk in the footsteps of John the Baptist if required? Am I willing to live in the shadow of Jesus Christ? Or do I want Jesus Christ to live in my shadow? Will it be clear to all that Jesus and his salvation are the clear central focus of every sermon we preach, every Bible class we lead, or every personal witness we give? God doesn't build his church only with the blood of martyrs. He also uses the proclaimed word. He uses the sacraments. He uses the witness of sanctified life. Today we remember John for using all of these means. May God grant that we can follow in his footsteps to the degree that God asks us, and always be faithful as John was faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.